Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
On the line is Professor Mary Galvin, Associate Professor in the Department of Anthropology and Development Studies at the University of Johannesburg. Professor Galvin, thank you for talking to us on 101.9 Chai FM.
Thanks for inviting me.
I wanted to link our discussion this afternoon to the fact that it is Human Rights Day. I know we're going to be talking water and asking whether in a crisis, but before we get there, I want to go one step back and ask you, is water a human right in South Africa?
Yes, water is definitely a human right in South Africa. Africa is recognized in the Constitution, the access to water, and the issue is really whether people have the right to access to water or the right to water.
Oh, wow, that is different. That is interesting. Let's talk about the community in Makanda, used to be Grahamstown, which if it wasn't for Gift of the Givers, wouldn't have any water. I mean, that's a colossal failure by government, is it not?
Colossal failure. The thing that people overlook is that the water restrictions that they're putting in Makanda now say that people should use 25 liters per person per day, where that was what was envisaged for day zero in Cape Town that was never reached. The worst it got in Cape Town was around 87 liters per person per day.
Give us an overview of the country as a whole. I mean, we all know about Makanda. I'm not so sure we are aware of other areas. What is our water situation like as at today?
Well, I'm in Johannesburg, and we've had regular interruptions, even in Johannesburg. But around the country, the national census has shown that many people have interruptions, regular interruptions, up to weeks, months, and definitely a few days. And that's the leading cause of people's dissatisfaction is, you know, when you go to use the tap and nothing comes out, and how do you continue to function on that basis?
Well, I think you've asked the question, how does one continue to function on this basis? Where is the accountability, Prof?
Accountability is a big, big problem. People often think that the service delivery protests are because people don't have water, but it's much more complex than that. It is because of the issue of accountability and the levels of mismanagement and corruption in our municipalities is just reaching a breaking point. And then that has the spin-off effect of there not being adequate investment, there not being maintenance, and even games being played where someone gets a kickback from water tankers, and therefore the water gets cut off so that people will, the municipality can call in the water tankers to line their own pockets. So the whole issue of accountability is at the forefront of the problem.
I'm actually astounded. I mean, I'm thinking we are in an unwinnable situation. You have a ruling party who's not going to do anything about it because they're probably going to claim there isn't funds to do so. Public protector, I suppose we should be relying on that, but that then would be caught in a factional battle. Does one need to perhaps bring suit in a foreign jurisdiction like a court of human rights or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's action that's happening. The South African Human Rights Commission came out with a damning report about the state of the Vaal River, which has forced, hopefully, people to sit up and take notice. Ramaphosa, in his State of the Nation address, formed a new water agency, which should be able to raise funds and allow for better management of water resources. You know, whether things are just window dressing, whether they're a repackaging, but there is potential. So for me, the biggest issue is, it's twofold. One, a question of what are the government's priorities. There's a lot of attention on right now energy extraction and energy production, which takes a lot of water. If you're looking at fracking, coal-fired station, mines, where's the alternative energy that we know we need for climate change and would free up a lot of water? And, you know, then the other issue is, are the interventions, where is the action that will help turn things around in the municipalities? And for me, that's a really critical need. And you can't send one official in from COGSA to try to turn around a municipality because they'll get sucked into all of the problems. We need more structured interventions to try to clean things up there.
I suppose this is the problem of liberation politics, because if this is the party that gave you your freedom, you are not going to hold them accountable to the extent where you're going to vote them out of power. It doesn't leave us with a working system in respect of accountability. Prof, what's the way out of this?
I think, first of all, there needs to be recognition that for a lot of people, and this has been supported by my research that I'm busy capturing now, for a lot of people all over the country, their confidence in democracy is inherently tied to their experience of changes and improvements in their socioeconomic rights. Don't water coming out of a tap. People are losing confidence that democracy is worth anything. Then we have big reason to worry, because so many people, you know, as we all know, fought and gave their lives and gave their freedom for democracy. So how can you allow that to sort of go down the drain? The question of whether, of what happens within the ANC, whether factions within the ANC can help turn things around and we might see changes, that I guess has potential. But I think also increasingly there's more and more local action where you could see people sort of making their own plan. For me, coming from overseas, I moved here in 92, I've always been impressed by this make a plan sort of mentality where, you know, people in Limpopo are getting together, you know, at the community level or across racial boundaries, and beginning to say, let's do it ourselves. How can we improve these systems? How can we pull plumbers in? Can we afford rainwater harvesting tanks? What help can we get from business? Those are small solutions. They shouldn't be necessary. People deserve a human right to water provided by the state. But in the absence of that, how do you go on? How do you live? So it's sort of a mixture of protest, pushing the ANC, feeding into other parties, and then making your own plan. So things are happening, and people really care about it. You don't have an apathetic population. You have a very active population. And the challenge is to really, really bolster that. I'm part of I'm linked to a water activist group that has communities all over the country highlighting their issues, calling for action, organizing themselves, linking with climate change movements. Now the challenge is up to government to work with those groups, not to make them the bad guy, but to say, aha, you're on the ground. How can we help you? How can we learn from you? How can we listen without being scared, without the government being scared?
Professor Mary Galvin, we're out of time, but we've only just scratched the top of that issue. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and experience this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.